said that sometimes we go back and we take it down now, we're get the money that we're paying to be up here, and if it wasn't really Kesef Kiddushin, and even though it was a valid marriage, we're going to make it invalid. The Gemara says that we only apply that principle to 3 or 4 cases. It's very rare. We don't really do it the Bizman Azeh. We don't really have nullification of Kiddushin. So when we say nullification of Kiddushin, we mean that we find that L'chatzkila, the marriage never got off the ground. There weren't kosher Edim. There weren't kosher witnesses. Like when Moshe Feinstein writes, if you didn't have kosher witnesses for a Kiddushin, so you might have thought that you were married. Or a couple may have thought that they were married, but they weren't really married because there weren't kosher Edim. That's not Havkah. That's Havkah. It's not saying you took something valid and made it invalid. It means it was never valid to begin with. So everybody would agree that if you have a conversion that didn't go through the proper essential steps of conversion, that you're not nullifying a conversion to say that it's invalid 5 years later. It's just it never was valid to begin with. But people might not have known that. Let's say they go to a Reform conversion, they don't even go to the mikvah. It's a Reform conversion, they don't even go to the mikvah. So everybody agrees that tefillah is me'akev a conversion. So somebody thought that they were a convert to Judaism, but they didn't even go to the mikvah. For sure they're not a convert. Many poskim certainly are of the opinion that if somebody has a conversion in front of Dayanim who are not Shomei Mitzvah, so Moshe Feinstein and the Rite System, many places, Minchas Yitzchak, many others, you have a conversion with the Dayanim are not Shomei Shabbos, for sure, so that's not a, you don't have a proper Bezin. A Bezin is Me'akev, at least for Kabbalah, so Mitzvahs like Tosfos writes. And for sure, if you don't have a valid Bezin for Kabbalah, so Mitzvahs, so, Pashtus, be Me'akev for the Tefillah as well. Then the gear is not going to be a good gear, even if somebody for many years thought that it was a good gear. So that's not nullifying conversions retroactively. So in that sense, the argument that Rosh Sherman made, that if the Bezin was made up of Rishayim, it was made up of wicked people. So if it was really made up of Rishayim, and they were puzzled to be Dayanim, so then the conversion never got off the ground. Just you have to be a little bit responsible, careful, let me use that word, you have to be careful about how you define Rishayim, because sometimes you can cast aspersions on people, they have different standards and so forth. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're Rishayim. I think it might be a stretch, or it sounds very much like a stretch, to take a Shomer Shabbos respected rav and say that this person is a Rasha because they might have different standards with respect to how they're Mekabel Geir. So that might not be necessarily good grounds for saying that a conversion never got off the ground. But if you have a Dayanim who were not Shomer Shabbos at all, so you can argue the conversion never got off the ground. The Rav was of the opinion, Rav Soloveitchik, quoted by Rabbi Wurzburg, Rabbi Walter Wurzburg, who quoted the Rav, and Rav Shachter quotes this in his writings as well, that if there was a proper, it was a tefillah, and there was a milah and a tefillah, even though the Bezdin was not orthodox, you have to worry that based on a sheet of Yishodim about how much the Bezdin is Miyakeh, Vishotah Gibor, that person might have at least the status of a Suffolk gear. You can't say for sure that they're a gear, but you can't say for sure that they're not a gear either. They might be a Suffolk gear. If they did a Kiddushin, you need a get. But many say no, that they're not Orthodox rabbis. Many are of the opinion that the gear was never gets off the ground. But Baron Soloveitchik was of the opinion that if a person had a non-Orthodox conversion, when they redo their conversion under Orthodox auspices, they need a bracha, because we don't even say it's a Suffolk, so you make the new get conversion with a bracha. Furthermore, if there's no Kabbalah on mitzvahs, if a person has absolutely no intention of accepting mitzvahs, so Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva on Yoredeach, Pelagal, Smikup Nenzayin, writes in a tshuva that the Geirus is a completely invalid Geirus, because he has a Kabbalah from his father. He says that if it's absolutely clear, and why is to quote his father? So, you know, sometimes I think Rav Moshe wants to make it clear that you're not allowed to argue with him, so he quotes his father. This is sacrosanct. So he quotes a tradition from his father that if a gear was, that if a person had absolutely no interest in keeping any mitzvahs whatsoever, then for sure the geirus never gets off the ground, and of course the geirus is invalid. So you're not nullifying what was ostensibly a proper conversion. You're saying the geirus never got off the ground. But the question is, is there a place for tracking a person's behavior after the gear, where everything appears to be hunky-dory, and it appears to be a Kabbalah so mitzvahs, everyone thinks that everything is sincere, and then we just, based on the person's subsequent behavior, we say that we're going to nullify a conversion. So we know that we do that with a katan, for sure, right? We know the Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Yud Aleph says that Ger Katan Mapilin also Das Bezdin, that if I have a katan that I want to convert to Judaism, I can bring the katan in front of a Bezdin and convert the katan to become a Jewish person. And we say, how can such a thing be? So the Bishonim discuss how this works, but it seems to work through Zochin, through the mechanism that it's a Zochus for the child to be able to convert. So what if the child doesn't want to convert? So the question is, at what point is he old enough to make up his mind as to whether he wanted to convert or not? So if Yosef says in the Gemara that like any other sechus, a person can say, it's nice that somebody bought a gift for me and wanted to do a favor for me, but I don't want the favor. So so too, a katan could say, when he gets old enough and he's a ben das, he could say, hidilu yechol limchus. But Yosef says that when he becomes a gadol, he could be moche. He could say, I don't want to be Jewish. What happens when he's moche? So what happens when he's moche is that retroactively, we say that the geiris is nullified. So we do have such a thing as retroactive nullification, at least with respect to a katan, that he can retroactively nullify his gear at such time that he finds out that he was a geir. So the question as to whether the geiris is even valid altogether if you didn't even inform him that he was a geir. What happens if you never informed him that he was a geir? So this is a question. This is a question as to whether we assume that he the schus is chal, but he can just be, he can just nullify it. Whether we say no, the schus is only chal and mafreya at the point in time in which we notify the child. So this is a question. The Rav of Soloveitchik thought that it could be that maybe the geiris is never considered to be chal if he never finds out about it. That in order for it to be chal, even the mafreya, even retroactively, at some point he has to find out about it. So you absolutely have to tell him. In order for the geiris to be chal. Others say, no, the geiris would be chal if he never finds out, but the problem is that if you don't inform him, so he finds out when he's 90 years old that he was converted, so at the point in time, Ramosha writes, at the point in time in which he finds out that he was converted, so he can nullify the geiris at that point in time. So he's 90 years old, he can nullify the geiris. That would be terrible if he had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, so they would all basically be swept along with him in this nullification. So that's why Ramosha recommends that and others recommend that you should inform the child as soon as he is bar mitzvah. He should know that he was in fact converted. So at that point in time, he can decide whether he's going to continue with a committed Jewish life or not. If he continues with a committed Jewish life, so then we at that point in time we say that he is he's Jewish and it can no longer be abrogated. No matter what he does afterwards, he can be Obed or Avodah Zarah 2 years later. But we say that he's always going to be Jewish forever. Once a Jew, always a Jew. It's a question as to whether the informing him that he was Jewish requires that informing him that he was a ger also requires informing him that he has the opportunity to be mocha. What if you just told him, you know, you were converted, and then he says good, fine, but you never told him that he had the chance to abrogate his conversion. You never told him that he could be mocha. So and he wasn't mocha. Let's say he didn't know. Then 5 years later, he finds out this did. He learns Gemara Ksuvos. He's sitting in yeshiva in Israel and learning Ksuvos, and he learns a Gili Yafal Limpos. And he finds out for the first time that he could be Mocha. He says, oh, great, I want to be Mocha. But he already knew that he was converted, and he wasn't Mocha at that time. So do we say that now he gets a new shot, that his shot to be Mocha is only when he finds out that he can be Mocha? So so the Rav apparently wasn't sure about this. Wasn't sure. It could go either way. Wasn't entirely certain. So since the matter is not entirely certain, it's generally advised that when he turns 13, he should be told that you were converted and you have the opportunity to be mocha. So there shouldn't be any questions afterwards. And then, you know, if he continues with his Jewish life, then he's considered to be a ger forever. But what about with a gadol? What about can a gadol be mocha? Can a gadol, through his subsequent actions, demonstrate that he really wasn't a sincere ger to begin with? So this is a question. It's interesting, there's sort of a shita in the opposite direction. There's a shita of the Ruggish of Agon. The Ruggish of Agon, this is published in his writings of Chumash on Megillas Rus, is of the opinion that one can retroactively become a ger. That if somebody, if they go through, say, a milah and a tefillah, they didn't have a proper Kabbalah so mitzvahs, and then 2 years later, they have a proper Kabbalah so mitzvahs, and retroactively, they become a ger from the time of the tefillah. A person had a mila and a tvila, so at the time of the tvila, they become a ger retroactively to the time of the mila. If it's a woman, she had a tvila, and then without a kabbalah sa mitzvahs, and then she has a kabbalah sa mitzvahs, she becomes a geiris retroactively to the time of the tvila. This is a very unusual shita. He uses this to explain the whole story of Rus. He says, how could Rus have, we say that Rus performed some sort of quasi-yibum with Boaz, but how could she have been designated for yibum when she wasn't Jewish, when she was married to Machlon, so was it a valid marriage? Wasn't a halakhic marriage, so why should she have to do yibum with Boaz when she wasn't really married to Machlon in the first place? So he says, well, afterwards when she was mekabel all the mitzvahs after Machlon died, when she was with Naomi, so retroactively she became a gish, she really became a gioris at the time she married Machlon to tefillah, but she didn't do a proper kabbalah so mitzvahs at that time. Then she did the kabbalah so mitzvahs with Naomi when she said amech ami velokayach velokay and so forth. So when she said all those things, so retroactively then, from the moment that she did tefillah before she married Nachman, retroactively she became a Giyaris at that point in time. So that's the chiddush of the Rugged Shavagon. Not everybody, I think that's a tremendous chiddush, but leave it to the Rugged Shavagon to come up with a tremendous chiddush. So according to him, you could have retroactive kiyum of gear l'machre. Well, can I have retroactive nullification for a gadol if the gear was perfectly valid? So there's a sugya in Yevamos on Daf Kuf Dalid on the base, which talks about somebody who gets married, somebody who is suspected of having a relationship with a non-Jewish woman. And then she converts afterwards. So the question is he allowed to stay with her? So the Mishnah says that he's not really allowed to marry her, but if he married her, then he doesn't have to divorce her. So the Gemara says, how could she even be a Giyaris? We have a halacha from Rabbi Nechemya that if somebody is Niskaya L'Shumisha, or Nisha Niskaya L'Shumish, and in Ger, not considered to be proper converts. So how can they be a Ger? So the Gemara says, that there on this statement we have the statement of Rav who says halacha kulam geirme, that the halacha is that really they're all considered to be converts. So how do you understand this? So Rabbi Nechemya says that they're not converts, and Rav says that they are converts. So what's going on over here? So explain. Well, really, they wouldn't be converts if they wasn't l'shem shemayim. But if they do, in fact, convert, it's l'shem shemayim. The Tosfos writes that if sofan lasas l'shem shemayim, they clearly have in mind to convert not only because they're interested in marrying this Jewish man, but they decide in the process that they're going to be mekabel mitzvahs and they really believe in all of the Torah. So then the geiris will, in fact, be valid. So is this a machlokis between Rabbi Nechemya and Rav? What's going on over here? So the Agos Mordechai says that it doesn't make sense that Rav would argue with a Tana. We say many times Rav Tana who follow. But in this particular, but if you can find some basis to say that there's no real argument, so it's better to say there's no real argument. So he says, so what's the, he says everybody's really in agreement that the Geiris here is very suspect. Somebody is converting for ulterior motives, and most of the gear today we know is a shame. It's just, for better or for worse, most of the gear is in fact when people are converting because they want to get married to a specific man they fell in love with, or a specific woman that the Jewish man fell in love with, and it's a suspect. The circumstances are suspect. So since the circumstances are suspect, therefore Rabbi Nechemya says that you can't really assume that they're going to be gay. So what is Rav saying? Rav is saying halacha kedivei omek kulam gayimim, that the halacha is, in fact, the Hagos Mordechai takes out the kedivei omek. So kedivei omek is Rav saying. So he says that the halacha is that if you watch their subsequent behavior, his exact lashon is as follows. We say that the apopit the pasuk l'shem halacha kulam geirim gemurim yesh omar le'acharei kein kishanu roim shemesharim da'peim, when we see that they are in fact walking in the proper paths of Torah apopit shemetchila osim l'shem yishu. So it sounds like the Hagos Mordechai is basically saying that you have to watch the person's subsequent behavior. And if their subsequent behavior indicates that they really warrant l'shem shemayim, so then we say, like Rabbi Nechemya, they're not geir. And it's only in the event that we see that their subsequent behavior demonstrates that they really were l'shem shemayim, that's when we say that kulan geirim heim. That's when we say that, in fact, we are able to perceive after the fact that their statement of Kabbalah so mitzvos in front of the best was in fact a genuine Kabbalah so mitzvos, and then we are going to treat them as a valid, bona fide geirim. So there's also a Yerushalmi in Kiddushin that has the same lashon as the Gemara in Yevamos in our Bavli, except that the Gemara in Kiddushin uses the lashon when it says that there's somebody converts with shame issues. So the lashon in the Yerushalmi is basically along these lines as well, that you have to basically watch ein dochen also, that such a person we're not doche, meaning we're not going to say for sure that they're not Jewish. But the Yerushalmi indicates as well that you kind of have to watch them carefully, and in the process of watching them carefully, That's how you're able to determine that the giur is a valid giur. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisuri Bia Perek Yud Gimel also seems to have this type of tension between either saying that they are valid geirim or saying that you have to watch their actions subsequently. The Rambam in Halachos Yudalid to Tez Zayin of Yisuri Halacha Yudal to Yud Zayin in Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchos Yisuri Bia basically asks the question, how is it that Shimshon and Shlomo were able to marry non-Jewish women? We know it's described with respect to Shimshon. Respect to Shlomo, we know the story is described about Bas Paro. So he says, obviously they must have converted. And even though we know that in the days of David and Shlomo, they were not really supposed to accept Geirim because we're afraid in the days of David they were converting because of the fear of all of his wars. In the days of Shlomo, because they just want to be taking advantage of all of the wealth and the prosperity of the Jewish kingdom during Shlomo's days. Nonetheless, he says, obviously they were converted by a bezdin of hedyotos, and if you're converted by a bezdin of hedyotos, so b'di'evit, the geiris is kosher. So why then are they essentially described as the non-Jewish women? So he says, well, they were basically described as non-Jewish women because shochiach sofan atzilas shin oto zakum shelahem. Because they were worshipping, after they converted, they were worshipping Avodah Zorah. So says the Rambam, therefore, whenever you have this type of a conversion, the Bezdin would be Choshishin Lehem Lo Dokin Osa Nachashi Tavlu, because this is like the Lashon of Yerushalmi, Mikol Mokom Lo Mekavin Osa Asha Tira Harisa. You have to watch what happens to them in the end. And then the Rambam says, Choshin Lo Achisbar Tzikoso. Then the Rambam says, and you have to worry about them until you see what happens. But then the Rambam throws in one final zinger, and he says, "Vafilu chosov ve'avadakum." And even if they go afterwards and they worship idols, "Hareyo kisra mumar shekidusha kidusha," they have the din of a Yisrael who has left the fold. We know the Yisrael afi shechat the Yisraelu. That Yisrael, once a Yisrael, always a Yisrael. So once a ger, always a ger. That once they have converted and they worship idols, their status is not as an akum but as a Yisrael mumar. So which is it? First he says, "Shelchiach sofan atzilasan that they're an akum." And then he ends up saying that even if they're Obed Akum, they're Yisrael Mumar Shekidusha Kidushin. So it's not entirely clear what the Rambam is saying. So many of the Meforshim struggle with understanding exactly what the Rambam is saying. Even Rav Moshe has contradictory or two different interpretations of this Lashon. And the Shulchan Aruch just codifies without comment this in Siman Reish Samaches in the Hilchos Geirus. Whenever somebody converts for ulterior motives, he has reason to be suspicious. So Shulchan Aruch says, "In Boboku Acharav Oshodius Chamishas Yonshon Hareis Egeir Pidunoda Shvishvul Dava Umisgayir V'Choshim Lo Achisparet Tzikaso." And you worry about them until they prove their righteousness. So what does the Shulchan Aruch mean? So it's not clear what anybody means over here. So there are different interpretations of the, and then the Shulchan Aruch says the same thing as the Rambam. V'Apidu Chazav V'Avad Avaras Kolchavim Hareyo Kisva Mumar Shekidusha Kidushin. So it's almost a tati disaster. Am I koshim lo? Do I have to wait and watch the subsequent actions? Or do I say, despite the subsequent actions, they're always going to be a ger gomor? So one interpretation, you can find this in the Achiez and the Bravam, and Moshe mentions this in one place as well, is that it really means that if so, the motives are suspect, even though the person says they're being mekabel lo mitzvos in front of a proper bezdin, you have to worry afterwards based on their subsequent behavior. That if they prove that they really were not sincere at all, so then you're going to nullify, then you'll say the conversion was in fact no good. It's chila. You say the conversion was no good. So does this mean I'm retroactively nullifying the conversion? Really, it means that the person's kavana to be mekabel lo mitzvos is an integral part of the giur process, and this kavana is very difficult for us to ascertain. And even though normally we say dvarim shebalei beinam dvarim, and we just rely on what a person says outright, but nonetheless, as the Achiezer says in the Ravam, if it's an umdan of the mucha, that a person really did not intend to be mekabel mitzvah, so then we say that the whole thing is null and void. So therefore, their subsequent behavior could help to establish that umdan of the mucha, but that they never really had a proper kabbalah to begin with. And the others say that we do that dvarim shebalev is not applicable to gear because dvarim shebalev is bein adam l'chaveru, and gear is something which is bein adam l'makom. So what you think really matters, because klal mishmaya, you have to have the right thoughts. is Beis Yitzchak, that indicates that has that star. And the other explanation within the Rambam and within the Shulchan Aruch as well would be no. That really, once there appears to be a prima facie acceptance of mitzvos in front of a bezin, then we say that the gear was a perfectly valid gear. And when we say shchoshim on she's partsy custom, that means for other things. What do you mean other things? I mean, Chasolozer says that means that we're not going to treat the person as a ger tzedek. We're not going to give them all of the benefits and the privileges of all of the special kindnesses that are supposed to be conferred upon a ger, all the extra optimists and ger privileges that would be conferred upon a ger tzedek, so he's not going to get the royal treatment. But in terms of being Jewish, yeah, as long as you had a proper, kabbal in front of a bezin, even if the person afterwards demonstrated that they're not keeping shomer mitzvah, so of course they're still a ger, they're just not a ger tzedek. And others say, I think Rav Kook has this, that it means that they don't have nemanos. The choshen law means that if I want to appoint the ger to be a mashgiach, so I can't appoint the ger to be a mashgiach in my kitchen, or for my kashrus agency, if he's not going to be shomer mitzvah. So the choshen law, normally a yisrael is a cheskas kashrus. This guy's not going to have a cheskas kashrus. He's not going to have a nemanos based on his subsequent behavior. But really, as far as being a yisrael is concerned, by all means, the person is considered a full-fledged yisrael. Even Rav Moshe writes this in one Malkum as well, this interpretation of the Rambam, that it just means maybe in terms of special privileges that we wouldn't accord him all the privileges of being a full-fledged ger in good standing, but Yisrael for sure he would be. So this remains ambiguous. So we see that we actually have a little bit of a mavucha, we have a little bit of a confusion even among the poskim as to how we understand how in fact we should view subsequent behavior. So I think that the bottom line is exactly what Rav Moshe says in his short tshuva, the name of his father. That it all goes not to subsequent behavior, but it goes to what is the established intention at the time that the Kabbalah's or mitzvahs is actually taking place. If you have a ger who comes in front of a bezdin, and it's quite clear and he says the day before he's coming in front of a bezdin, the whole thing is a farce, and the whole thing is a fraud, and I'm just going to pretend, I'm going to give lip service to being mekabel mitzvos. And then he goes to the conversion. And then the second after the conversion, he runs off, and the first thing that he does is go to eat a cheeseburger at McDonald's on a Friday night. Then it is crystal clear that that the person never even, it's not that his subsequent behavior nullifies the conversion, there never was a conversion, because basically what the subsequent behavior is doing is just confirming what was, in fact, the state of mind of this individual at the time of conversion. There were a couple of cases that were written about quite extensively in the various Torah journals in Eretz Yisrael about 10 years ago, involving, one was a case of a woman who converted to marry a particular man, and I think she was a Russian woman, and she came and she converted in front of a bezdin, and then the marriage to that man took place a week later, and the marriage took place on a Friday night, and the party was in some sort of disco hall. So 1 week after the conversion took place, basically they were machal Shabbos, and they were eating trefus, so which are two of the major biggies in terms of what it demonstrates of proper kabbalah mitzvahs. Chaim Ozer is a famous truth in the Akiyas, okay, the Gimel Simcha Bava, when she says, maybe we can say that the person in general is mekabel mitzvahs through Dvarim Shebalei, but sometimes they're over afterwards bisman hazeh l'teyavon. And though nobody's perfect, they could be over l'teyavon, but we're not going to nullify their conversion just because they're not from. But if it's clear that they never were accepting Shabbos and Kashrus, he says, then all bets are off. So here the people weren't being mekabel even Shabbos or Kashrus. So there were a number of different articles in the journal Tachumen as to what to do in this particular case. So one of the writers, I believe it was Yoezer Ariel, made a suggestion and said, look, even the maybe, this the whole thing was l'teyavon, and they really, at the moment of conversion, were very, very sincere, but then there were family pressures, they had to make the party Friday night, and it's not really, there wasn't a proper kabbalah, but he said maybe as a general matter, in order to encourage, more clarity regarding the person's kabbalah or mitzvahs, you should turn to all converts and say to them, we're gonna hold your certificate, your conversion certificate, your tudas gir, in escrow for 1 year following the conversion, and then we'll watch your behavior over the course of 1 year, and only if we establish that there's no question about your intent based on subsequent practice, then we'll release the tudas gir after 1 year. Then he acknowledges that this will only work in the cases of the individuals where you're not going to need to do this here because they're not converting for the sake of marriage. Because those are generally the more obviously sincere candidates. If they're converting for the sake of marriage, and generally speaking, it's in order to prevent people from living in sin, and you want them to get married a week later. So you're not going to hold up the tudas here for a year. So it's not a perfect solution. And Rav Duchovsky has an incredible article in Tehumen Simen Chelek Chavtes, in which he basically responds to the sweeping psak din of Rav Sherman regarding the case of the woman who was caught not being so firm 15 years after the conversion. And Rav Duchovsky basically seems to say that the only thing that is that matters or that we should be focusing upon is the rega echad, that they are in the mikvah. The rega echad, the one moment that the convert is in the mikvah and they are attesting that they're being mekabel lo mitzvahs at that rega echad, at that split second moment of time, what he describes as the proverbial ba'asher husham. So he says, just like you could be Mekadesh and Isha, and you could say, I'm an Asha and Itzadik. Even the person is a Rosh HaGomer, but we say that, no, Shema here b'tshuva, b'tshuva b'libo. Maybe he had tshuva for that 1 second. So who's to say that this convert did not have tshuva in their heart the 1 second that they're in the mikvah? So he thinks he can't invalidate any gear, and he goes further to say that certainly if a person has been established as a Jew for 15 years after the conversion took place, for sure a chazaka has been established, and furthermore, whatever Bezdin is ascertaining the kavana mitzuya, the truthful and serious kavana of the convert at the time of conversion, certainly the bate din of Orthodox rabbis that are appointed by the Israeli rabbinate are no worse than the Bezdin shel hayotos that are described by the Rambam that converted to the Neshei Shimshon and Shlomo, so for all of these reasons, he makes the argument that he thinks that you can't go back and validate any conversion. So I think that the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle, meaning that part of the responsibility towards Geirim, and part of our responsibility towards, you know, even those Geirim that we bring into the fold in Chutzlar, is like that poor fellow who wrote that tearful letter saying that now he's not able to sit and get up and learn every day because he's worried that his conversion is always going to be revoked. I think that there is a certain responsibility not to leave conversions in perpetual fear that their conversions are going to be revoked. Halacha l'maaseh, I think the Choshim Lodge, he's bar sikoso, generally does mean, once we're out of the closing gate, I think it generally does mean that in terms of other matters like the emunas and other privileges, but not necessarily in terms of being Jewish. But it does mean that we worry about a person being Jewish, at least in the time period immediately after a conversion, if there are really, really serious questions that arise based on a person's immediate conduct, immediately subsequent to conversion, where it's quite clear that even though they were in front of a bezdin shel, a bezdin of gimel k'sherim, that the Kabbalah Sabitzos was a fraud. If you're going to talk about fraud, so I think that certainly when a person's actions indicate that there was absolute fraud, and it was an umdana demuchak, that there was no Kabbalah Sabitzos, then it's not a question of saying that we're retroactively going to nullify a conversion, as much as it is more an inyan of saying that this is the type of case where perhaps there was no conversion in the first place. If a person runs out immediately after the conversion to be, you know, Mechal Shabbos and eating trefus, then it becomes a much less of a presumption that that split moment that they were in the mikvah, that they really had a genuine kavana of being mekabel mitzvos in a very serious fashion. But obviously, every single case has to be evaluated very carefully upon its merits. And I think that as you get further away from the conversion, we all recognize that nobody is perfect. You know, Rav Kook, you know, writes about the question: what about, you know, somebody who is talking about a get case, where they wanted to do away with a get? I guess in a case where, you know, somebody was a man was apostatized and refused to give his wife a get, and he had been a ger, and he himself says that he didn't really have kavana when he went into the mikvah to be mekabel mitzvah. So he writes that this is in the Das Kohen Simen Kupnum Gimel. He writes that a person's kavana at the time that they go into the mikvah, if it's not expressed to anybody else that they don't really have a serious, you know, kavana not to accept mitzvahs, and it really is dvar shibaleiv, and this, and their action afterwards doesn't even indicate that there's an under the mukach, that they were not the metabol mitzvahs. So even the fact that a person himself may, you know, may get up and say, oh, I didn't have a genuine kavana, that would not serve for us to nullify the conversion. We have to rely upon Elan Dainalam Elamashayna Volus, as the Shach says in this context. We have to rely upon what we ourselves see and what we ourselves discern in terms of making these types of determinations. So the person says, oh, you know, when I was in the mikveh, who knows, maybe I didn't have 100% seriousness, maybe I wasn't 100% sure, maybe I was thinking of a particular mitzvah that I might not keep, who knows if I exactly had the right intentions. So that, you know, in most cases, it's just proof that the person is neurotic and Jewish. But not that that we should have to put everybody in a state of paranoia to have to reassess, you know, their intentions. I think that in this sense, there is a more of a weight placed on the actual masim that a person performs after a year, rather than reevaluating what their intention was. If they appear to have proper intentions, to not express otherwise, to not say, I'm mekabel everything chutz midavar echad, which would not be good, as the Gemara says, and to not, you know, explicitly indicate through their actions that they were not mekabel mitzvos, then the presumption is that their intentions were in fact proper intentions, and then in fact the year will be treated as a proper year, particularly when, as Lagos Mordechai puts it, they are misharm dacheim, when they do act, you know, in an appropriate fashion in terms of their observance, in terms of their mitzvah observance afterwards. Now I'll just conclude with a tshuva of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe dealt with a case where a woman had converted, and then she had pipukim on her gear, because she said that at the time that she went into the mikvah, she actually had in mind that she was going to go to work for the last 2 days of Pesach, the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Pesach, because she was she had pressure, she was worried that they would fire her, she didn't go in, she was going to try to make sure not to do anything that was really malacha, but she knows she had this in mind, and in fact she did it, and now it's many years later, and she's worried about, you know, her status and the status of her children and grandchildren, what's going to be, but given that she had this invalid thought process at the time of her conversion. And Rav Moshe writes very pointedly that she should not worry, that nobody is absolutely perfect, that as long as it was only Dvarim Shebelev, and the truth is that there was only the Te'ovon, we understand that people sometimes have taivos, and sometimes they're able to overcome those taivos, and sometimes they're not able to overcome those taivos, but it's clear that she did, in her totality of intention, intend to accept the mitzvah. She even accepted the halachos of Yom Tov Sheni. She was just struggling with her taiva and her and the pressures that she was facing to be over on the mitzvah. And we hope that people will be omei b'nisayim. But the mere fact that somebody is not, the fact that somebody is not omei b'nisayim in particular cases does not by itself invalidate a gear if there was essentially an appropriate kavana. And that we should not place people into the perilous type of predicament where they have to worry that their intentions are going to be reassessed many, many years after the fact. And there are different levels of, you know, observance that manifest themselves, you know, after the time of conversion. But absent the showing of outright fraud, it is very difficult to undo conversions. We nonetheless should be careful that when we bring people into the fold, even if a conversion is going to be out of the evidence, in cases where a person does not have the utmost standards of observance subsequently, we do have to be mindful of the words of Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Mincha Shlomo, where he says that there's another consideration here, that even if a year is the evidence valid, when it turns out that a person's not going to be so observant or ends up not being so observant afterwards, you have to worry about your responsibility from the standpoint of the Pnei Iver. If you're a dayan and you're, you know, a rav who's bringing somebody into like that into the fold, there's a Pnei Iver consideration that while they were a goy, they weren't over in any surim when they were, you know, committing all these averos because they didn't have the responsibility. Now you're going to impose the responsibility upon them, so then you could be over on the Pnei Iver. So therefore, while there is a mitzvah to do gear, the mitzvah is to do responsible and good gear, and to make sure that you identify candidates and to your best of the best of your ability, determine that you're dealing with a sapachas that is tahor, that you're dealing with a case that's going to bring tahora, tahara and kedusha among the Jewish people, to be makis and tachas kanfei yeshkina and yitzhak shev. We do our job properly. We have the requisite number of individuals under our wings. Will be zelka to all return to Tzion Yerushalayim, Meher v'Yomeinu, Amen.